Good morning, everyone. I want to thank Reverend Joelle for last week's preaching and for setting the bar unreasonably high. That was fun last week, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. I apologize now. All right. I want to see if you guys are familiar with this phrase, walk or speak softly and you do know it, right? Carry a big stick, right? Yeah, walk or speak softly and carry a big stick. This statement was popularized during Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. It was advice suggesting that reasonable and non-aggressive diplomacy was the way to go, all the while possessing strength if diplomacy goes awry. In this reading from the Gospel of John, I'll be repeating one such verse that is truly a verse that is used to speak softly sometimes and carry a big stick. Hear these words from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In God's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me. Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me. If you know me, you will know my God also. From now on, you do know God and have seen God. Philip said to him, Lord, show us God, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to them, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen God. How can you say, show us God? Do you not believe that I am God and God is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own. But God who dwells in me does God's works. Believe me that I am in God and God is in me, but if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to God. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that God may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, here in this space, breathe into us your Spirit, we pray, that the words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be wholly acceptable to you, and to find a home in the hearts of these your beloved. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you caught that in the reading. Did you hear it? Do you understand how that one verse can be used as a speak softly and the other verse as the big stick? The I am the way and the truth and the life is the softly spoken part. The only way is through me to God, and that is the part that carries unimaginable power. It can be wielded as such. It is power that the institution of the church has used, power that those people pretending to represent the institution of the church continue to use today to hold sway over other religions, countries, highly politicized ideals, and that is gatekeeping for sure, but not the kind of gatekeeping Jesus would have wanted us to use. This theological big stick diplomacy is the same as the eye of the needle kind of gatekeeping. Do you remember that passage? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, right? Are you familiar with that imagery? Let me explain. Throughout the walls of Jerusalem, the walls that protected the city, there were, of course, the large city gates where you could enter. But then there were also smaller city gates where you could enter. And the smaller city gates were large enough for a human being to fit through. These were called the eyes of the needles. So imagine if you're traveling, and of course you're not driving a U-Haul in these days, you're carrying all of your belongings, perhaps on the backside of a camel. How easy is it for you, with all of your possessions, is it to fit through the eye of that needle? Big stick diplomacy is similar to Matthew's understanding also that the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. Now, here at this point, we Christians risk abusing the power that translating Scripture can have over humanity. There is power in claiming a heaven versus hell type of understanding of salvation, a either you're in or you're out kind of salvation, either you're Christian or you don't get life kind of an understanding. Episcopal Bishop, the late John Shelby Spong, once said, "I don't think hell exists. I happen to believe in life after death, but I don't think it's got something to do with reward and punishment." He continues to say, "Religion is always in the control business. And that's something people don't really understand. It's in a guilt tradition controlling business. And if you have heaven, that's a place where you are rewarded for your goodness. And hell is then a place where you are punished for your evil. Then you have some sort of control of the population." Spong continues, "And so they," the church, "creates this fiery place which has quite literally scared the hell out of a lot of people who are Christians, and it's part of the control tactic." And the church has used this and abused it. And not just our institution, but global religions of every kind can go to their holy texts and do the same thing. One of the most powerful weapons in the world are religious texts. Religious texts used to justify any form of violence. The gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. No one comes to God except through me. Can you see how these verses can suggest a big stick form of diplomacy? At face value, they don't appear to leave much wiggle room for diversity. And it's at that point, as we approach this narrow gate, that we have to theologically unpack our camels to understand a little bit more about how we move through this. The big stick is a threat. It's a looming threat. You know it's there. Speak softly and carry a big stick. We're going to try diplomacy, but I've got this in my back pocket. And living under the weight of threats is no way to live a healthy life, whatever those threats may be. Poverty is a threat. Abject hunger is a threat. Apparently, being a Palestinian is a threat. Being an immigrant in a foreign country is now perceived as a threat. having a gene pool that leads to being overweight and type 2 diabetes and fighting with health insurance companies, that is a threat to a peaceful, holy existence. What other threats can you imagine that prevent heaven from existing right here on earth? What threats exist outside of our control? And what threats do we, as a community of believers, perpetuate? In what ways are we gatekeepers? Surely the idea of gatekeeping believers, allowing or denying access to a compassionate, empathetic, divine entity, is one such way to establish control. Believe, be saved, or... Oh, I heard that. Yeah, right? But do we seriously believe that Jesus would say that to anyone? Do we believe that Jesus would have said that to the woman at the well? How would Jesus speak? See, Jesus didn't say anything like that. Nothing like that. Not once to anyone. And the camel through the eye of the needle is key here. Imagine carrying all the weight of your possessions, those physical things that we have that probably possess us more than we possess them. The weight of everything that we are responsible for. Imagine having to unpack all of that to enter into something bigger, better, sacred, holy. It's a lot of work. But that is the suggestion that is made. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. Notice that it says it's impossible for the camel to go through the eye of the needle. It is easier, yes, it's not impossible. The same with the narrow road that leads to life. It's a narrow road. It's not impossible, but it's no easy challenge either. So when the going gets tough, yes, we are a people that love having all things fall in our favor. We do, especially when it comes to financial living. We like our comforts. We get uncomfortable when people say that we might lose some of our creature comforts. And yet the God of all creation calls us through Jesus Christ for more, for promoting and perpetuating a balance of life through our faith that leads to a balance for all life. Pastor and author Brian McLaren wrote, "We make the road by walking it." It's more than just a book title. It's an ideal of walking that narrow path with one another and finding safe passage through it. We make the road by walking it. We can also make the gate by standing it, by holding it open or holding it closed. We make the table by inviting others to sit at it or preventing people from accessing it. The list goes on. It's not easy work. As a matter of fact, I think it's complicated work. Self-differentiation is a complicated process. Same thing with the idea of deconstructing one's faith to reconstruct something bigger, better, bolder, something that offers more life. And that is hard work. And that hard work is even, oh, heaven forbid, political. We can't escape that. And it is work that is informed by our faith. It's necessary work that we may find balance for all God's creation. Walker speaks softly, understanding that our big stick must not be a threat. It must be Christ. Always Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.